Peter, the first chapter, and the 14th verse, knowing this shortly, that I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitness of his majesty. Will you pray, Brother Otis?
Dear Lord, we're thankful for the way of salvation, and we ask your blessing, Lord, on those that are present tonight, that our understanding may be enlarged, that we may receive benefits from your throne, and
praise
the grace
God.
Of God may be even more shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Bless Brother McCoskey with the words that he should speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And this scripture that we read, the Apostle Peter was made aware that he didn't have but a short time to stay here. Somehow or another, by the great premonition of the Lord, that God had let him know that he was fixing to leave this life, and he wanted to leave a few final instructions to the church.
Praise God.
And then moving back, I want to read another verse of scripture in Acts, the 4th chapter and the 20th verse. Peter and John had been threatened and told not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
The same man said, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And I hope tonight that these testimonies, I feel good about this, because I feel like in some way it parallels with what I want to say. And I'm trusting that God has so set the stage tonight with your testimonies and what you've said, maybe what I'll say, that will some way edify us and lift us up, and we'll leave here tonight blessed of God.
Hallelujah.
Praise unto the Lord that we've been to Pentecostal meeting. I find myself many times trying to find a great sermon, something that would make the herald, something that might get recorded in a book, something that we could go down to Shoney's and say, "I come up with a brand new one." Sort of a pie in the sky message, knock 'em out John type thing, big deal, great, extraordinary, super, fantastic, something different. It was wonderful, it was glorious, but somehow or another, when we're reaching for that great, fantastic message, that something different, it really is just not there. For this great apostle said, really, folks, I just have to give it to you straight. We can only tell you the things which we've seen and heard. Some time ago, I was just teasing somebody a little bit about what somebody had said and got real upset. And I said, "Hey, don't get mad at me. I'm just the Western Union. I'm just delivering the message."
Yeah.
If you want to get upset at them.
Right.
And so many times people look at the ministry and realizing that we Pentecostals are somewhat controversial. We are.
Yeah.
We readily admit it. We're different from the crowd.
That's right.
We don't fit into the elite. We don't do too well and fare too sumptuously in the ministerial alliance.
That's right.
Nothing against them, let them do as they may. But our message is so controversial.
Right.
We're just about against everything the world's for.
Right.
You know, these folks have testified about God delivering them from smoking. So you've assumed now, if you don't already know, Pentecostals just teach that it's wrong to smoke. And God delivered them from drinking. So you've come to the conclusion that It's wrong to drink. So there's just, we teach against the things of the world, reveling in all types of sin and dancing and all kinds of ungodliness. We're just against it. But Peter said, this is just the way it is. That's all we can tell you. But they said, we don't like the name of Jesus. And there's a whole lot of folks in the world still don't like that. But Peter said, that's all we know to preach. Just what we've seen and what we heard. Now I look at this great man of God as he endeavored, no doubt, to preach many times. And I wondered as he stood in the pulpit years later, the Lord had already gone, ascended back to the glory world. Holy Ghost had fallen. Many people received the Holy Ghost. Another generation come on. That younger generation, of course, was not privileged to see what he saw. But I wondered, as he stood many times to preach and said, well, I'm going to preach on God answers prayer. He could have told them so many things that happened in his life.
Right.
He said, man, I was down in the jailhouse and a church was praying so hard, so fervently, so sincerely that the very building itself was shaken.
Yeah,
he said, God delivered me from that jail. But hey, tonight, while I'm searching for something fantastic and different, let me stop for a minute. And tonight, if I could see the Apostle Peter, I'd say, wait a minute, man. You saw the Lord. You was delivered from the jail. But wait a minute. God answered prayer for me too. And it would not do for me to stop and say, some of you jump up and tell me some prayer God answered. Every one of you would be on your feet. But as Sister Rutledge talked about those little things, I remember some years ago trying to find God, wanted to know something about truth and how to get saved. I talked to old colored folks. I remember one old colored lady. She was in a denominational church, but she got happy. She'd pray. She'd shout. They said Junior was crazy. But Junior wasn't crazy.
No.
She had an experience with God. And she'd just sit there with that palsy and shake. But she'd tell me about God and the wonderful things the Lord had done for her and how God had answered prayer.
Hallelujah.
And she gathered a little group of us around one day, a group of boys and girls there, and she looked at them and she said, pointed over at me, said, that's the preacher. And I thought about it many times. Not that didn't make me the preacher, but just those things that God did for me.
Hallelujah.
But I reached for some truth. I wanted to know God. And I told you many times how that God miraculously sent the farmer people down, family named farmers, from Hornersville, Missouri, and landed them on the railroad section gang down there so that they could carry me to Pentecostal meeting. But I said all that to say there was one little prayer I remember one day God answered for me. That wouldn't mean a thing to you. It won't get into hell. It's not even important. But to me, it was a fantastic thing. Because I wanted to go to Pentecostal meeting. Man, I wanted to go to church. Better than a hog glove slop. Amen. I wanted to go to meeting. But they said, we're sorry. We can't go to church tonight. Mr. Farmer's unable to go. So I got on my two-wheel bicycle that I'd made a quarter plowing garden, sometimes 50 cents, hauling a load of slabs, saved me up $10 and got me a bicycle without any fenders on it. And I went down the woods every day and rode that thing and got all alone and prayed and told God I needed the Holy Ghost. And I'd sometime weep before the Lord and God saw my heart. And I went down there on that two-wheel bicycle and got out on my knees and said, God, I want to go to church. Lord, if there's anything you could do, I'll thank you for it. And in my name, Jane McCuskey, I went back to that house.
They sent one of them little girls over there. I was 13 years old, had never hardly seen a driver's license, didn't have no driver's license, and it's up an old country road anyway, didn't make a lot of difference back in those days. And they said, if you, told my mother, if you think Buddy can drive the car, tell him we're going to church tonight.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, I was like a man out of jail. I shouting and praising God. I went to that Pentecostal meeting that night, and we stayed till almost midnight. It was cold as it could be. I had to walk a half a mile after I got back with the car on home, but that didn't make a bit of difference. It was real freezing cold. I remember skipping a loo down that road, praising and glorifying God, and thanking Him that He carried me to Pentecostal meeting. I'm telling you tonight, we can only preach and tell and testify about that which we have seen and heard. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Peter could have said, well, this night I'm going to preach on miracles. Man, he knew all about it. He was there when the 5,000 was fed. He was there when the widow woman's son was miraculously raised from the dead. He was there when the 4,000 was fed. He was there when the Lord did so many mighty miracles. He just healed the sick, raised the dead, and opened the blind eyes. He was there when his life was in danger. He was out on that water, and he was trying to make it to shore. They went and woke the Lord up, said, Master, don't you care that we perish? Jesus just came up, calmed that troubled sea. Well, the Lord didn't come to Lake Washita one night a few years ago. My son was out on that lake. They thought the other two boys was somewhere lost, and they took off in that little tiny boat with the winds rocking. When they got to land, the boat was full of water, and they set another few feet with the head that went under. I thought, oh, God, it scares me to think about it. But the Lord, I've never seen Him storm the troubled sea, but through a mighty miracle, He got my boy to the other side. And the reason my wife had gone off up in that little office many nights when he'd be gone, get down on her knees and beg God to somebody watch over him. Don't let anything happen to him while he's out there. And God miraculously heard my prayer. You see, I can't talk like the Apostle Peter. I can't say I saw those things. But I've seen many things that God's done.
Sure.
To me, that was a great miracle in my life. Hey, God. We talk about he could have stood and said, well, I'll just make it divine healing tonight. He could have told of all the mighty healing things that he saw. But just wait a minute. Let's stop at Apostolic Church. Brother Rutledge's daughter miraculously healed of polio. I look over the audience tonight, and so many of you miraculously healed, sugar, diabetes, and all types of diseases. Oh, and I think that night, that day when my son was laying in the hospital with his brain swollen, many had died with that same disease. I remember getting in that little old car, riding down the road and begging God for mercy and for help. I came back and he had told his mother, he said, why doesn't God heal me? I went and got on that telephone and called Dallas, Texas and said, O.C. Marler, if you ever prayed, get your church together and pray. We got to have an answer from God. He said, we're fixing to go to church. We'll have special prayer. The Sister Edwina can attest to this. That very next day he began to eat, and in just a few days he went home. You might say he would have got all right anyway. I don't know about that, but I know he was suffering. I know he was in agony, and we prayed, and God answered, and I praise God for that. Hallelujah. I'm talking about what we've seen and what we've heard. The Apostle Peter said, I was an eyewitness to the majesty of God. No fairy tales, no cunningly devised fables, but he said, I was there. He said, I was on that holy mountain. Thank God when I heard that voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased."
Right.
Perhaps he said, "I was confused on the Godhead, and I'm here tonight to tell you I once was confused on the Godhead. I grew up in Trinity belief and not understanding the mystery of God, but somehow or another God miraculously let me see Lord. This wonderful, glorious truth. He let me realize that great, mighty God who was invisible, who was a spirit, veiled himself in human flesh through Jesus Christ the Son, thank God. And as Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh, was justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on in this world, and received up in the glory. And when God let me see that, I praised him for that great revelation. I'm glad tonight I know that he's the mighty God. I'm glad to know he's the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace, that he's the lily of the valley and the bright morning star, the lion and lamb of the zoological kingdom, that he's our Savior, that he's all in all to us tonight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to God.
This great man said, "We can just speak what we've heard. Where'd you get your schooling, the Apostle Peter?" Well, he said, "I learned a little bit how to read and write. Then I took up fishing. And I was just fishing, and the Lord come along and told me to come and go, and he'd make me fishers of men. And I didn't have any better sense than just believe if I'd do what he said, he'd do what he said. So I just been following him ever since, and I spent 3.5 years sitting at his feet listening to him. And now he did everything he said he would do, and all the scriptures verified. And he said, as I began to look back and realize that all the Old Testament scripture coincides with everything that he said, I began to realize that I had been to school at the greatest school that could be. I sat at the master's feet."
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. "And I saw with my own eyes the great majesty of God. Now," he said, "if it's degrees, I don't have that. For they had perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men. But," he said, "it's one thing for sure. As he talked to that lame man, I don't have any money, but I got a relationship with Jesus Christ. For silver and gold have I none," he said to him, "but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he said, "I just used Jesus' name and things just happened. I just preached that which I've seen and heard and Amen. Things just happened. I just preached repentance, baptism in his name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and folks just get under conviction and they fall out and they find God and they speak in tongues, and I preach to them how they got to live holy, and they hear me, and churches are born and the great work of God moves on." He said, "That's all I know. I'm just telling you what I've seen. I'm just telling you what I've heard."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, he could have said, "I'll just preach on the resurrection tonight." He said, "Oh my, when I get to thinking about this," he said, "I've seen the dead come out of the grave. The Lord let me see that firsthand in Lazarus. But I've never got to see that. But he let it get into the infallible word of God, and I read it, and it thrills me just like it did this old man. It's just as thrilling to me because I know it's God's great word. Not only that, I remember the words that's recorded when Jesus said, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.' And I believe that tonight, if we walk with God and we have that same power, Paul said, in him that raised him from the dead, thank God that it also quickened us. Thank God. And I believe that tonight. I believe in the resurrection. I know there's a resurrection. Thank God. He resurrected us from sin. I've experienced that much. But he's going to do more than that. He's going to resurrect this mortal body. Thank God.
That's right.
If I walk with him.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen. Also, Jesus said to a group of weary disciples, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." In my Father's house are many mansions. That's just it, Brother Sammy. That's settled. Don't debate with the atheist. He ain't got any sense anyhow. The Bible said the fool said in his heart, there's no God. Don't fool around arguing about those things. No need wasting your time with that. But I know, thank God, I'm just as sure it's just settled. It's the case is closed. The Lord said it, and I believe it. That makes it so. Hallelujah. He's always done what he said he would do, and there's no reason why he should fail us now. Peter said, I was an eyewitness. He said, church, I want you to get one thing straight. No telling what's going to happen when I go. He realized he was going. But he said, let me get it to you straight. This is the real thing. This is the real thing. Let me tell you something, young folks. This is the real thing. You won't know the many miracles that God's done because you've lived in good times.
Hallelujah.
But you see, God done a lot of little things that we just shouted about that you'll never get to know about. Down in Mississippi, Brother Yeager, you appreciate this. An old man got a call from Texas needing to go hold a revival, feeling an urge from God, an unction from the Holy Ghost to go hold that revival. No money. And he headed out, had a dollar and a quarter in his pocket, and the tire went flat. And he went into a service station. The man said, I've got one tire. I'll let you have it for a dollar and a quarter. He said, that's the tire. Headed on down the road, and here's an old boy thumbing. And he stopped. He said, I'm trying to go to Texas. I like the dime having enough to ride the bus. I give you all I got if you come into Texas. He said, we got in that car and said we went and had a Holy Ghost revival. See, you young folks don't understand that, but God's done great things for us. And they may not have been a big things to a lot of folks, but to that holiness preacher, there was an answer to prayer. Oh, hallelujah. And if we had time tonight, words would fail us, books would fail us to try to write all the things God's ever done for us.
Yeah.
Oh, Brother Rutledge could just tell you hundreds and hundreds of mighty things God's done for him through the years that they were struggling in the work of God. But God always got there just in time. He always answered. Praise God. So tonight, as I hear Brother Rutledge, he can't preach without telling many of the experiences in his life. Why? Because he's just telling you the things which he's seen and heard. He's heard and he's read and he knows God's word is infallible. But he also knows that God has confirmed that word in his very life and answered prayer. He's seen literally hundreds filled with the Holy Ghost, the Lord confirming his word.
Hallelujah.
I know, brother, they told you, you can't have it, but all of a sudden you got it. All of a sudden you got it, because the Lord confirms his word when you believe. Hallelujah. So all you can do now is just tell them what you've seen and what you've heard, what you've received from God, and it's real, it's life itself. Aren't you glad? No pie in the sky. No super message. Just God touch our Pentecostal ministry with a move of the Holy Ghost. Touch our saints and do Lord for them. And we'll come to church and shout about it and testify about it. Souls will be saved. We'll all go to heaven together. Thank God. And what a wonderful thing it will be. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad you're seen? Aren't you glad you heard? Praise.
He's come.